God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that great hope that we have of salvation. A salvation, God, that was bought and purchased by the death of Jesus Christ on a cross for all who would believe, all who would rely upon him, all who would confess their sin and ask for his forgiveness, which he will freely give. God, if there's any today, God, point them to your great gospel, that they might be saved, that they might live to be with you for eternity and for eternity. And so, God, we pray and help us. God, this morning we also want to thank moms. We want to thank those who have lost and still endured, those who are struggling, from those who have walked away. And God, I pray that they might be encouraged today by your great power and your great might, and by your ability to turn the hearts of men back to himself. And so, God, we pray for the repentance of those who wander. God, for those who have suffered loss, that you would comfort them. God, for those that their children are still here, still young, still time, God, we pray that we would, with all zeal and with all power, with all might, through the implementation of your word, guide these young students and children into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they might live a way that is worthy. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I hear the kids, woo-hoo, and I'm going to ask all of the parents that have signed up this morning for something I hope becomes a tradition here at Avondale Bible Church, and we're going to call this Introduction Day. And so I'm going to have all those parents that have their babies and are ready to come on up here. This last year, we have had a lot of babies, and so we wanted to introduce them up. Let's go this side of me here. All right. Isn't that just fabulous? I hope somebody's taking a picture of that right there. Amen. You know, at Avondale Bible Church, we love our kids. We are committed to our kids. We want to teach our kids. We have programs for kids. This is our nursery program, and obviously it's been very productive. I'm just going to pass this mic down, and what we're going to do is... either the husband or the wife, we allow that here, is going to introduce themselves and their baby, and have many of them have a favorite verse to share.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. My name is John, and this is Bethany Lafferty, and this little bundle of joy is God's blessing to us that we long desired, and her name is Evelyn May. And then we had a quick Bible verse that we want to share. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
May that be a blessing upon Evelyn.
Well, we are the McCaffertys. the running joke continues. And this is James Eugene. Over here, and we picked out James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And our prayer for James is that he would be bestowed with wisdom from God.
We're the Piscatellis, and this is Shepherd to my right, and Joseph, who won't let go of me. But Shepherd today. And from Psalm 119, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Amen.
This is Anders. I am Bryn, the Isaacsons. And this is our newest Isaacson, Rolf Victor. And our verse is 1 John 5:4. "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith."
My name is Emily. This is my husband, John, and our youngest, Benjamin James Schmoker. And the verse we picked for him is Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths."
Amen. Let's give all of the... Oh, there's one more down there. There's too many.
We did not sign up, so we were told to come up here.
We love that.
Hi, I'm Tyrone. This is Melissa Sheffy. We have Jalen, and he just came to us a year ago. We are in the process of adopting him. He's a bundle full of energy and joy in our household. But for him, I just want him to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is covering him right now and giving him the life that he has with us. And our verse is Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Amen. So. All right, now we'll give a hand. That's it. You guys get you there. All right, they can be seated. You see how they love the up front here? Let's just go to our God one more time. God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these families that have come. I pray, God, for your coverage over them. I pray that you will help them teach your word to their kids diligently. I pray, God, that this church be a church that continues to love kids and to serve kids and to raise them up in the instruction and admonition of the Lord. God, I just pray your blessing upon these households, that they would continue to serve you and love you, follow you, God, that these kids might grow up to be men and women of God that might serve your kingdom in awesome ways. And I just pray these things, God, and ask for your blessing upon these households and the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I overheard Pastor John talking to the welcoming team this morning, and he reported that Mother's Day is the third top attended day in church. So Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. And then he also made the comment that it was the least crime day. And somebody quipped in the group and said, yes, yeah, because they're all being supervised at church. If I continued my series in 2 Thessalonians, I'd be preaching about the man of lawlessness. And I instead thought, you know what? On Mother's Day, it'd be more fun to talk about the man of God. And from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, you know, this passage of Scripture is one that many of us know, for the Scripture is God breathed from God. And we emphasize the nature of the Word of God. But Paul, in his instruction to Timothy, encapsulates it from the beginning to the end with what Timothy was taught to do and taught to believe. So let's just dig into our text and see how Timothy, from infancy, the text says that we'll be looking at today, was taught the Word of God. Let's look as we look at the idea that we need to continue in the Word of God in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul described Timothy as his son in the Lord. But Paul also knows that Timothy has a heritage, and a rich heritage, and he pulls upon that to convey the truth that he wants to teach Timothy in this passage. And so, number one, I want us to look at the fact that, and first of all, that the Word of God leads to conviction. He says, but as for you, you see, there are many people who go astray, there are many who wander, there are many who attack the faith of Jesus Christ, but for Timothy, Paul says, for you, but you continue to remain, stay, endure, stay at it, wait, don't depart, wait and continue in what you have learned, past tense. And so Paul is teaching Timothy, but he is reminding Timothy of what he already has been taught and what he already knew. We as parents have a responsibility to teach their kids, our kids, and help them understand the things of this world and the things of the Word of God and the application of the Word of God. And so Paul calls upon Timothy, you know what you have learned and have become, firmly believed. You know, oftentimes we would, as parents, just hope that our children grow up to marry Christians. And I will tell you this, may we pray that our children grow up to marry people with conviction, to be firmly engraved in the Word of God, firmly steadfast in regard to what they believe. I know what I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to complete into that glorious day. And so we as the people of God should hope for this, like Timothy was. He has been firmly convinced of what he believes. Number two, this word should be taught from childhood, knowing from whom you have learned it. The text has this in the plural. It wasn't just Paul teaching him, but there were many who had gone before. You know, again, I want to commend all of you parents who are engaging in the Word of God with your children, because there's a heritage there that will not go away. Oftentimes a verse will come to my mind that I will say, thy or thou or whatever, and I know that that verse has been in my heart all the way back from when I was a kid, because I learned it in the King James Bible. From whom you have learned it, from childhood. The term childhood here in our text is really the idea of nursing, our infancy, babies, you know, the group of kids you just saw come up to the front. It is never too early to begin to teach your kids the things of God and the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul writes, I am reminded of your sincere faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And so you have this picture here of grandma coming over to Timothy's house, say, hey, Timothy, let's talk about the Word of God. Let's discuss the things. They applied Deuteronomy chapter 6:6-7, where it said, you know, command these things and bind these things on your heart and your mind and talk about them when you sit down and when you go along the way. So Timothy was given this opportunity. Grandma is important. We ought to give a special thanks to grandmas this morning who continue to teach and work with their kids. You know, one of the things that we should know about parents of Timothy is it found in Acts 16:1. Eunice was a Jew. Her husband was a Greek. And it seems as we look at the text that Eunice and Lois are given credit for the salvation of Timothy because they had taught him. Obviously, his dad was not involved. One of the hardships about parenting is not having parents that are on the same page, not both committed to doing the right thing and to teach their kids the way of Scripture. But what I want to see and show you here as we look at this text that the teaching is perhaps leaning more upon moms and grandmas in these days. You know, why isn't it that the top day on attendance is not Father's Day, right? So I'm going to put a challenge out there. Let's see if we can get our kids to come back to church. Let's talk to them. Let's appeal to them. Let's just say, hey, listen, if you come to church, I'll buy you a steak at BJ's or something, you know. Again, I want to give a word of encouragement. If you have a husband that does not engage, you can be blessed as Eunice was blessed and Lois was blessed to see that the Word of God was taught to their kids. You know, the text says, you have been acquainted, familiar, you remember the sacred writings. These were the grammata in the Greek language, letters, the alphabet, the writing in specific. And so he's referring not to the wisdom of man, but to the Word of God, as he says, Timothy, this is what you've been familiar with. You know, as we think about what our society has been influenced, there was perhaps a person that most of you don't know called Dr. Spock, and everybody quoted Dr. Spock. He was born in 1903, died in 1998. He wrote a book in 1965 about parenting and how you should do your parenting. And so he wanted to go away from the rules and more to the sensitive. He wanted to go away from harshness and go to warmth. He wanted to go away from learning God's commands to just do whatever your individual, unique person wants to do. He really stressed the uniqueness of man. And I want you to know that much of the error in the church today goes all the way back to people listening to the wrong counsel, the wrong advice in regard to how to raise children. Bring your children up in the admonition and instruction of the Lord. Teach them when they sit down and when they walk along the way. You know, as you consider Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, where it says, teach them when you walk along the way, I would call this minivan time, right? We don't walk in anywhere in any hurry. We get in our man vans and we drive our rigs around, and it's an opportunity to talk. You have a captive audience, right? And so too often what we do is we crank on the radio and we ignore the idea that Scripture has. When you go along the way, it says when you sit down. You know, families that learn and have dinner together tend to be more positive and encouraging. There was one study that said the winners of the spelling bees were typically kids. What the one common denominator was, they had dinner at home with their family and they talked about the Word of God. You know, when my kids were younger, when I had them all at home, we would read the Bible, and I often loved the book of Proverbs. We just read one chapter, and our kids called it demotions, right? I don't know how they picked that up, but you know what? We just read the Scripture. We talk about it a bunch. You know, my two younger boys, they roomed together when they were little, and They had bunk beds, lofts in the bedroom, so there wasn't anybody on the bottom. They were both on top. And, you know, one of the special things for me in my house was that my kids would ask me for an elevator. And what that meant was they didn't climb their little ladders, but they got an elevator from Dad to go to bed. When they lie down, it's an awesome opportunity to talk to your kids, to pray with your kids. Again, you have captive audiences, right? They are there, they're with you. Pray for them. You know, we oftentimes miss these great opportunities just to discuss and read and talk about the Word of God. I challenge you, as you think about this, teach them not just the scriptures, but the things that are outcomes of these things. You know, number three, the Word presents salvation in Christ. The text says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul reminded Timothy of the salvation he had because of the grace of God, because of Christ's death on the cross in payment for his sins. We need to have these kind of conversations at home. Too often we assume our kids accepted Jesus somewhere in the Awana program, you know, and we hope that they turn out good when they're 18. Have conversations. Do you believe? Is this part of what you are convinced of? What's hindering you from believing? And again, is it wrong for them to question things? I wanted my kids to question everything, that they would think through what they knew and what they believed, and that these things would become part of what they believed in terms of what they were convinced of. You know, we as Christians should learn a few passages of Scripture just by heart, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe? We could go to Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We should be able to have that and talk to our kids about sin. Have you ever done wrong? And we know that they've done wrong. In fact, when you discipline them for wrong, isn't that a wonderful opportunity to talk to them about mankind? That there is none good, no, not one. None that seeks God. We could go to Romans 5 and verse 8. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. We ought to be able to flow with these words. Talk to the kids. The scripture is not going to come out of your mouth when you're driving the minivan or when you're putting to bed if they are not part of your heart, your mind, and your thought process. And so you have to take the word of God, you have to put it in your heart, and you have to speak it. For the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if we believe in our mouth and confess that he is Lord, we will be saved. We will be saved. Take the time to ask this question, are you saved? Are you convinced? Is there anything that you doubt at this moment in time? Again, when moms and grandmas take those opportunities and let the word of God flow from them richly out of their heart and their mind, that they will at least convince their kids that they are genuine and real about what they say they believe. Again, good parents can raise children who do not know God. There's no guarantee. There's one of the hardships about putting all these babies up here is I wish we could track them for a lifetime and see how many that were born here at Avondale Bible Church 30 years from now are still following Jesus Christ. That is our hope and our passion, that we would be committed to that in that process. In Colossians 2 and verse 7, it says we ought to be rooted and built up in him and established in faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so we have our children's ministry program teaching. We have our Awana program teaching. But you as parents and grandparents have all the time in the world to engage in the lives of these kids. Again, we should continue in the Word. Why? Why should we continue in the Word? Well, correction comes from the Word, from verse 16. For all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Spock, as he spoke about his thing, was wrong. Again, some of the things that he taught are what we do instinctively. We hold our kids. We comfort our kids. But we need to understand what will change the mind of a young infant or toddler or preschooler or school-age kid. It is as they understand what this verse says. All scripture is breathed out by God. And so number one, we needed to see that the word is by command, not suggestion. Word is command, not by suggestion. The Ten Commandments are not just God's suggestions, right? The word of God in Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, do good to all men. This is not just a suggestion, it's a command. Forsake not the assembly as many are in the habit of doing. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. Study thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. That is not a suggestion, that is a command. And so we need to understand, as we become permeated with the word of God, that we understand that the word of God is speaking to us and asking us to change by command. It is inspired by God. God breathed. You know, as we consider what that means, if it is God breathed, it is by God, it is from God, and it is God speaking. If there are those who want to question, well, what about all the errors in the scriptures? You know, there are literally thousands of them. Yeah, spelling changes. Like honor is spelled without a U anymore, right? Isn't that a dramatic change? That shakes my faith. That makes me struggle. That makes me think, oh my goodness, how many other opportunities are there? You know, for those who are scholars, and I am not, they've studied this issue. And I went to one seminar, and a gentleman put up the book of, he put on the screen all of the changes that we found in the Word of God. All of them. A whole bunch of them, excuse me. And as he said, well, let's first off take out the spelling changes, right? And a bunch of these verses disappeared. You know, and then grammar changes, minor changes, all of them, as they disappeared and he explained what those were, don't impact the Word of God at all. You know, we therefore believe that the Word of God is absolutely authoritative in what it commands. Absolutely. God has the right to command us to do whatever he wants. We also believe it is inerrant, and we say this in the original autographs or in the original writings, that what was delivered to man through the Holy Spirit was from God and is therefore not wrong. It makes no mistakes. It's also infallible, not capable of being wrong. We need to rely upon this kind of word because 2 Peter 1 and verse 20 says, Scripture does not come from man or the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit of God. So the word commands. The word also corrects. The text says, and is profitable for teaching. You know, most of us, we say and what we mean is this and that. But the Greek word here, kata, can be used in terms of this and this. That continuing on as we say, this is what it does, and this is also what it does, and this is what it does. And he says, so it is profitable. This is an interesting term. For those of you who have done well in the stock market lately, this is your term, profitable. To heap up the returns, right? And that's the idea that when we look at the Word of God, it corrects us and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction and righteousness. It changes you. It heaps up the things of God in regard to your life. What does it heap up? It heaps up teaching, instruction. Again, we as believers should be constantly studying and teaching the Word of God. By this time, the Word of God says you ought to be. See, do we know that one? Or we just don't want to admit that one. By this time, we ought to be teachers. But it also says, be not many teachers, for in so doing you incur the greater judgment. There's a responsibility that goes with it. But the call of God is that all in Christ learn to be those who can communicate the Word of God. The Word of God is comprehensible. We can know it. We can understand it. There are things that are too great for us. In fact, the Scripture says that. Who can know the mind of God? There are things that are unsearchable, unknowable, but the truth of the Word of God is to direct us to the fact that there are many things about God that we cannot know. It's understandable. It's conceivable. And so we need to be taught these things. Notice that we also need to be given reproof, rebuke. This is a tough one for us. Oftentimes we feel the rebuke of the Word of God. Sometimes we feel the rebuke of believers. And we need to be reminded of Romans 8:1. Ty read that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I just love that. For correction, to restore to an upright stance. This is what we should not be doing. You know, when we read the Word of God, we always should come up with a so what. What do you want me to do, Pastor? I want you to be so ingrained in the Word of God that it flows out you all day to everyone, and particularly to your kids. That's my passion for today. Number two, this morning, the word conforms, and for training in righteousness. So there are the things that we rebuke, that we correct. These are the wrong things. There are wrong things. Can we say that in a pluralistic world that says that there is no wrong, that says that you can do whatever you want, do your own feeling? Can we say that there is righteousness and there is wrongness, and the Word of God will warn us against what is wrong and will instruct us in what is right? It is very important in your parenting to get the balance between those two things. There are things that we should not do, and there are things that we should do. We should flee from unrighteousness and pursue righteousness. This should be the way that we are. We cannot just say over here no, but we must also be over here and say yes. In fact, in our culture where sex is rampant among all those kids all the way down to the junior high level, can we say that God's desire, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, is that they be married because of the present immorality? And yet what we often do as parents say, oh no, you need to finish your college education first. Well, I guarantee you that will lead to problems. And so can we train our kids to be ready for marriage way younger than our current culture concedes? Again, we need to be able to say yes. We need to be able to say sex is great. I said that from the pulpit. Can you believe that? It's awesome. It is good to be married. It is good to have that trust in that relationship. It is good to be married 38 years with no failure in regard to that. It's delightful. That's what God desires. But if we're just over here saying no, 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 we don't really set the vision for what God desires in all things. And so there's always a wrong way and a right way. Confess your sins one to another. Give grace on the other side. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Conform to the image of his Son. What is our goal as we look at the Word of God? Is to teach them to be like Jesus, to reflect his glory, his passion, his desire, his love, his comfort, his strength, his ability, his mighty power. Lastly today, completion of the Word. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17, it says that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, I've been really stressing this lately because I've become convinced that this is something that we as the Church of God really need to engage in. And so we've been focusing on doing good, right? Doing something meaningful, something tangible, something in the way of outcome. And so we need to understand that this is what the text says. The man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And so let's look, number one, that the word makes me competent. The text says that the man of God. I do this, it is God-breathed. He's built up the importance of the word of God. This is what the word of God does. It transforms us, it conforms us, it rebukes us, it gives us training in righteousness so that the man of God might be ready to go. It is not our job to raise children. It is our job to raise men and women of God. It is not our job to hold on to them forever. It is our job to release them into the world that they might impact the Church of Jesus Christ, that they might share the gospel as often as possible. I want you to know this term, the man of God. You can see it over in Deuteronomy 33. It is a term that was given to the men of the Old Testament, like Moses and Elijah, like David, to be men of God. Can we lift the vision that we have for our parenting and say we want to see our kids be transformed into be the mighty men of God, to hold forth the truth, to stand firm in a world that's going south, to be the kind of people that stand for what is right. Again, it is very easy to create a mama's boy if you are invested in Spockonian type language where we're giving them warmth and comfort, and we need to be the kind of people of God that shove our kids out the door at something and say, go to it, go for it. I'm with you, I'm there, but you're going to go and you're going to... You know, in my generation, right, we left as soon as possible.
We did. It's harder and harder for us to make that kind of break in today's society. The things are expensive. And so one of the things I'm just trying to do is to challenge you to say, what am I doing? I'm raising men, I'm raising women that will follow God, that will stay at that well and long after I am gone, like Moses, Elijah, and David, to be the kind of men and women of God that change the world. Again, the text is calling out, Grandma, Grandma, you can change the world. Invest in the lives of this next generation. Be with them, comfort them, give them warmth, celebrate their uniqueness, but drive them to the Word of God where they will be submissive and follow after what God's desire. God commands, He does not just suggest. Again, the text says, may be complete. That is in the subjunctive where it's the idea of possibility. And so we have all great possibility and opportunity to become these kinds of young men and women. Again, the term says that you may be complete. You know, we could translate this verb, as perfect, as finished, capable, or even competent. And so we need to understand that there are things in our life that we need to correct, things that need to change. And you as parents have the best eye for it. If you look at your son or daughter, you could say, this one struggles with speaking the truth, or this one struggles with motivation, or this one struggles with commitment. This one struggles with inconsistency. We ought to be able to say, these are the things that will destroy their lives. These are the things that will unravel their marriages. These are the things that will make them unemployable in the world today. And so to be complete, to be perfect, what a fabulous idea that is. And so we need to understand that the Word of God makes me competent, that the man of God might be ready for every good work. You know, parents, can you help your children find their spiritual gift, right? If the goal here is that they be men of God, ready for every good work, can we ready them for that work? And one of the things, I delight about Avondale Bible Church is the number of teens that show up for the VBS program. There's almost more teens than children. And sometimes that's good. A lot of times that's bad. But they come out and they serve. Every Sunday, I walk into the back end with my wife, Heidi, because she likes to serve in the back end. And there's all these students asking, Miss Heidi, can I do something? Can I get you something? Can I serve you? That is the result of parents challenging the hearts of young girls and boys to engage in the kingdom of God. Again, we know about spiritual gifts. Romans 12 just lays them out. And so we should be able to say, what does it mean to be administrator? You see, I think that you can comprehend that word. It's comprehensible. Does my student demonstrate leadership capability? When they go into the room, do they walk around and say, you do this and you do that, and then I'll just sit here and do this, right? Administrators are few but special, right? Few but special. And so, again, when we think about those who are on the elder board, let those who rule well receive double honor, there is a sense in which they are among the few that are authoritative in regard to leadership. Are you a giver? Is your son or daughter a giver? And you know what? You see your son or your daughter constantly bringing flowers to somebody, bringing them a little note or a little gift. And so there's this desire to meet needs. We can understand that. That is, again, not that hard to comprehend. Not hard to understand it. When your son or daughter comes into your space, do they say, Mom, you are the greatest? I mean, right there, you know they're filled with the Spirit of God. And they have the gift of encouragement, right? This flows from them, and it wants to be expressed in the lives of people. Again, can we take a look at that text, and say, am I a servant? You know, there are people who just love to serve here at Avondale Bible Church, and I appreciate them deeply as we consider how do we make Avondale Bible Church into the kind of community that God desires. Again, I'm not going to spend the whole time on spiritual gifting, but it's not that hard to comprehend. It's not. We just fail to analyze life and to assess needs and to see what we're good at. We ought to be able to encourage our kids to engage in the kingdom of God according to their gifting, because when they do that, the fruit of the Spirit will pour out of them. Love and joy and peace and patience, goodness and kindness. Understand that as they engage in the truth of the Word of God that points them to good works, that they find joy and meaning in that place. We are struggling with purpose because we are not focused on the kingdom of God and the work of God, and certainly at times lacking in instructing our families about the application of what it means to do good. And so number two, the word makes complete. The word equipped is in the text, again, to bring to completion, to finish, to make adequate. We know that the Word of God says that God gave some pastors and teachers to equip the servants for ministry. The ministry of the Word of God does not come through the pastors or teachers. It comes from the people of God as they are equipped to do what they are called to do. One of the verses I enjoy in regard to this is Romans 15 and verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. You know, some of you are exhorters, and I love you exhorters. You are people that tend to see things as black and white, right? Right or wrong, this or that. And you're geared that way. In fact, when it doesn't go that way, you're frustrated, right? And so we ask the Spirit of God to calm the soul of man so that he would do this. But can we understand that a verse like this, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another, is sometimes we have handed over the instruction of our soul to somebody who is not rooted and centered in the Word of God. I'm going to challenge you, never go to a counselor that does not use the Word of God. It is the Word of God that changes. It is the Word of God that convicts. It's the Word of God that equips in order that we would do the things that God desires. We are lost because we're looking to the world like guys like Dr. Spock for the instruction that we ought to get from the Word of God and take confidence in what the Word says. I am convinced. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness. There's our term again. Full of a desire to do something good. Complete. There's the idea of being thoroughly equipped and in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Exhort one another today while it's called today, lest we be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The Church of Jesus Christ needs you exhorters. Those of you who see the Word of God clearly can take it into the lives of people and instruct them into what they ought to do, to love their spouse. You know, someone once said to another person I know that God told me to leave my husband. I thought, that's not a God that I see in the Bible. Let's look at what the God of the Bible does say. Lastly, this morning, the Word prepares for every commission. The text says, for every good work. The whole of it. The whole of it. What will create a solid family? Where we raise men and women according to the Word of God, diligence, faithfulness, and grace as we see our children fail. Even in the church, not all will succeed, not all will prosper, but the vast majority can if they will heed the Word of God, listen to what it says, and understand how much it is the Word of God that should be directing my steps. What I do, what I buy, as we looked at last week, do all to the glory of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. It's time for the church to continue to focus on the Word of God that we might raise up men and women of God, rather than the children of wrath. Again, I love this church. I love you people. I love the way that you discipline your kids and are engaged in them. I love the fact that you sign them up for VBS and put them in the Awana program and put them in the youth program. We're trying to train up the next generation. I want moms in particular to be encouraged. You are doing so well. We are surrounded by teens and junior hires and kids like crazy here at ABC, and it's just fun to see that. It's a testimony of what you are doing as parents, and I applaud you this morning. God, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue to work in these households, that you might continue to motivate them to teach your word when they get up, when they lie down, when they're in the minivan, when they're at dinner, that we would just talk and discuss the word of God. God, help us do this without judgment, without criticism, but with love and genuine desire to see them follow after you, God. And so we pray for these things this morning. In Jesus' wonderful and blessed name, amen. Please stand.